Amen. God bless. Thank you. You can be seated. Amen. Everybody doing good today? Y'all sure? All right, just checking now. Let me get my stethoscope out and check for heartbeats. Amen. I want you to be alive. Now, where's Jonas at? Jonas, you be glad? Got my commandments here. This might be a little startling to begin with. And I did go order me some glasses this week, but these are my old ones. So they might make some words look a little different, but they're going to be better than I was last week. Felt like I was watching one of them fuzzy TV shows back. You remember, Ray, when we used to have to, I mean, you get snow in there, and you have to adjust the rabbit ears. You young kids don't know the pains of having to get some new tinfoil to put on that thing, huh? And then the picture would start rolling. You remember that? You go over and adjust them knobs and get it to slow down. I mean, that's kind of the way I was reading last week, so I could have been a liberal last week, wouldn't even known it. But anyhow, but nevertheless, we're just grateful to God. Joshua chapter 10, and if you would, just we'll pick up verse 16, but look at verse 15, because we've got to tie together the two events that are kind of correlated here in Joshua chapter 10. Now, just to kind of pick you up where we're at, we've traveled through the book of Joshua here. We witnessed some pretty awesome stuff. We've witnessed the call of Joshua after the death of Moses. We've witnessed the situation with Rahab, where she kept them safe when they spied out Jericho. We have also witnessed crossing the Jordan, the memorial stones. We witnessed the things that took place as they prepared. All that circumcision talk, chapter 5, that we're still all a little weak-stomached over, right? And then chapter 6, the conquering of Jericho. What an amazing thing that was, teaching us that if we just do things God's way, things work out for our benefit and His glory. We went on into chapter 7. We realized that there were some problems. They got a little overconfident, took their eyes off God, got their eyes on their own abilities, and suffered a great loss, the only loss that took place at Ai. In chapter 8, they had to go back. They had to go back to where they had lost before. They had to return to a place of prior defeat. And then chapter 9, they were deceived by the Gibeonites, presenting themselves as being from a very far-off place. And instead, they were just the next town in Joshua's conquest. Joshua had been told by God not to enter into any covenants with anybody of the land of Canaan. In Joshua's defense, he didn't know that these were from Canaan. If he had known he was from Canaan, he wouldn't have done it. But he thought they were from very far off outside of Canaan, so he did make a treaty with them. 3 days later, he finds out that they lied to him. And instead of just killing them all for lying to him, he taught us another valuable lesson about honoring our covenants even when circumstances change. He taught us about how you can take a deceitful situation and turn it into a time of devotion before God. We got in chapter 10 last week, and the Gibeonites got in trouble. Gibeonites says, hey, you got to come help us. Remember, you made a covenant with us, and because you did that, you have an obligation to protect us. And so Joshua honored his covenant and began to protect them against the five other kings of Canaan. They came against them, and the Bible says that they were able to win this miraculous battle at Gibeon after they had traveled all night from Gilgal, 25-mile hike through the woods, and instead of getting rest time to prepare for battle, went straight to battle, and wasn't enough daylight, and God made the sun stand still in the sky. You can argue about how you believe that happened, what cosmological thing might have taken place. You might try to figure it out, but I've learned that God's ways are beyond my figuring out, and I've realized that what I have to return to is that He is the sovereign God of the universe. It's under His all authority. By Him all things consist. And because of that being true, I can realize He has complete authority over nature, whether it makes sense to us or not. Amen. And because of that, the sun stood still in the sky, gave them more time for battle. They did achieve victory there and defended those who had attacked at Gibeon. And the Bible ended up by just telling us they went back and camped at Gilgal. So let's take the word of God, if you will, and let's look at chapter 10. If you found your place physically able, let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of the word of God. And we'll pick up there at 15, and where it ended last week. It says, Joshua returned and all Israel with him to camp at Gilgal. Remember, Gilgal is the headquarters for the conquest of the promised land, Canaan. Verse 16. But these five kings had fled and hidden themselves in a cave at Makeda. As I was told, Joshua was saying, the five kings had been found hidden in a cave at Makeda. So Joshua said, roll large stones against the mouth of the cave and set men by it to guard it. And do not stay there yourselves, but pursue your enemies and attack their rear guard. Do not allow them to enter the cities, for the Lord your God has delivered them into your hand. Then it happened, while Joshua and the children of Israel made an end of the slaying of them with a very great slaughter, till they had all finished, that those who escaped entered fortified cities. And all the people returned to the camp to Joshua and Makeda in peace. No one moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Then Joshua said, open the mouth of the cave. Bring out these five kings to me from the cave. And they did so and brought out those five kings to him from the cave, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. So it was when they brought out these kings to Joshua that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said to the captains of the men of war who went with them, come near, put your feet on the necks of these kings. And they drew near and put their feet on their necks. And Joshua said to them, do not be afraid nor dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus the Lord will do to all your enemies against whom you fight. And afterward, Joshua struck them and killed them and hanged them on five trees. And they were hanging on the trees until evening. And so it was at that time, on the going down of the sun, that Joshua commanded, and they took them down from the trees, cast them in the cave where they had been hidden, and laid the large stones against the cave's mouth, which remained to this day. Look at verse 28. On that day, Joshua took Makeda and struck it and its king with the edge of the sword. He utterly destroyed them. All the people who were in it, he let none remain. He also did to the king of Makeda as he had done to the king of Jericho. Pray with me. Father, add your blessing to the reading of your word is my prayer. May I remember that I've come to this pulpit today as a place where I can die to myself so that others can live for you. May lives be changed. May the Son of God be glorified, is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Today, I'm preaching on the thought, completing the course. Now, I believe we'd all agree that after such a phenomenal defense of Gibeon, most of us would have probably said, let's take it to the house and go over at Mama Nim's. Grandma's got some chicken and peach cobbler for us to celebrate our big victory. That's what we would probably think, given that this was such a monumental thing that Joshua honored his covenant. Boy, what a wonderful example he is to us today, because we learned last week that true integrity is revealed in how we respond when circumstances change. If he had been out for himself and had not been a soldier under the command of the Lord God of Israel, it would have been very easy for him to say, hey, you guys deceived me once. You ever heard people say this? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Sounds real spiritual, but it's not really. That's kind of like the people that say, I don't get mad, I get even. Y'all ain't never heard anybody say, y'all would never say that. It's your neighbors that say that, or kin folks on your mama's side, right? That's what I always did. I blamed my mama's side, which was usually a pretty good spot. But anyhow, here's the deal. We think it sounds all well and good, but if you live your life just trying to get even with everybody that's wronged you, you will die a miserable person. If you live your life saying, they might have got me once, but they'll never get me again, you're going to die a miserable person. Too often, and I see it with pastors, I was guilty of it at one point in my ministry, just, and I'm very transparent and honest with y'all, where I built walls, where I used defense mechanisms, where I tried to make sure that folks didn't get too close or where they would hurt me and get the opportunity to hurt me. But God, the Holy Spirit, broke me down and taught me that if I'm going to be God's man on God's mission, I'm going to live a life of vulnerability, and the vulnerability doesn't go away. There are going to be people that hurt you. There are going to be people that lie to you. There are going to be people that mistreat you. There are going to be people that misrepresent themselves to you. It's just part of what we do in this thing called ministry. I tell our deacons often in our meetings that ministry is what, men? Say it loud and proud. Come on. Messy. Thank you. Good. They're kind of like, messy. We're not like you, Pastor. We're a little more reserved. But anyhow, here's the deal. I tell them, ministry is messy. Josh was a wonderful example of a man who was involved in a very messy ministry, wasn't he? Things happen in ministry. People get sick. People die. Homes break apart. Children rebel. All these different things happen in ministry, and people get tore up from the floor up over things that don't matter. Ministry is messy. Joshua had a messy bunch too, and he caused more messiness by being deceived. It's going to happen. So he's riding the wave of this great victory, but the victory is not complete. Now, here's the message for us today as a local body of believers. Sometimes we see God move in a great way, and he does something awesome, and we give him praise and glory for it as we should, but then it's real easy for us to fall into a season of lethargy and apathy. Apathy, and I was reading this years ago about Greek alphabet and things like that, passion being pathos, the only difference between apathy and passion, pathos or apathos, is one letter. There's one letter difference in it, and there's just a small difference between those who live with passion and those who live with apathy. But no matter how passionate you may be today, it'd be easy to fall into apathy just by looking at all the problems going on around you. You watch the news, you watch the weather, you want it to rain, you want it to sunshine, you want this, you want that. There's always things that could cause us to become apathetic and disinterested in the things that God is doing. But here is the lesson from Joshua. He had learned the pain of taking his eyes off Jesus. He's done it twice already, right? Taking his eyes off what God wanted him to do. You and I have probably similar stories where we could say, boy, this is where God really got my attention. He learned the pain and the price that was paid for that, and he was determined that he was not going to leave the job undone with Gibeon or these five kings. So let's walk through the text together today, and let's see what God teaches us about how we can learn from Joshua's example of completing the course so that we will do the same. Notice what the Bible says in verse 16. We read that they took a very false refuge. He says, but the five kings fled and hid themselves in the kings of Makeda, and it was told Joshua, here's what it is, that's where they're at. Joshua, we know where the leaders are. They took a very false refuge. They took cover. Now, keep this in mind. When Joshua's people got in trouble, where was Joshua? He was out there with the people. He was out there taking the blame for where he messed up and taking charge because God had called him to this place of leadership. Now, let me tell you, these five kings are total antithesis of Joshua. First of all, they haven't got the hand of God on them to begin with. Second of all, they are not leading for what they can do to invest in the people. They are leading for what it does to promote them. Too often, even our ministries today, we find folks in ministry, we see it over and over and over, whether it's in a small church, a large church, medium-sized church, or anywhere in between, we see folks who get in this rhythm of thinking, hey, what can this organization do for me instead of what can I do for this organization? Too often, we find this when folks are asking God, and I pray you do this, asking God to direct them to a place where they could serve. Brother Larry, you've seen this. Brother Scott, I know you have, and you guys in ministry, you've heard. How many times have you heard people come say, we're looking for a church, Pastor. What can you do for us? I live for the day. Somebody walks up front and says, "Pastor, I done got on my face before God, and I done laid my family on the altar. And you know what, preacher? You ain't very sharp, and you ain't very smart, and you ain't much to look at. But I have asked God, where does he want us? And where would he place us so we could be an investment and an encouragement and an inspiration?" Preacher, we're not coming here to take what you can do for us. We're coming here to see how God can use us. I mean, Lord have mercy, if that ever happens, I'm taking a trip. Amen. I tell you what, I mean, hey, God, you know what? Heavenly Baptist Church don't have every program you're looking for. And I didn't learn this about programs. They got a shelf life. And listen, hear me. That's why when we talk about things like D-Life, which we'll talk a lot about in the coming months, it's not a program, it's a process. We're in the process, it's not programs. We don't have everything you're looking for. We got a long way to go. We don't have all the things that a lot of people think are absolutely necessary. But I tell you the one thing we must have, that you cannot put a price tag on and buy it, all things will flow, is we need the hand and the blessing of God upon our mission and our ministry. We need to live transparent, repentant lives before a holy God. Then, friend, I'll tell you, all that other stuff take care of itself. Amen? Amen. God is good. Well, he's taking cover. The five kings, it says, hey, instead of being out there with the people that are under attack, they're in the bunker. They think even Joshua don't know where they're at. But there's one thing, friend. David said, if I ascend to the highest heaven or I make my bed in the grave, he's there. God knew where they were. Can you imagine? God sends one of his little angels and he bumps one of them soldiers, says, hey, I ain't saying, you got to use your sanctified imagination. Don't y'all get all y'all theological Nazis. Don't you go, oh, he's extra biblical. Huh? I'm just saying, somehow they were low, however it was, and they go to Joshua and say, hey, found out something. We know where they're at. And can you imagine? Joshua was like, he was a human then. And I know in the movies they depict him, go. Oh, roll stones. I bet he went, you thought you had me. But look here. Here's what I want you to do. They were taking cover, but their place of covering placed them in total captivity. Here's what Joshua said. He said, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to roll large stones on the mouth of the cave, and I want you to set a guard by it. Now, some of you are thinking, where'd all the rocks come from? Did you read the early part of chapter 10? He just sent hailstones from heaven, picking them off. Picking them off. There's rocks everywhere. And they take those stones, and they roll them up. And those five kings who thought they were in a place of refuge are now in a place of captivity. Can you imagine? Just get in the story. Imagine being one of those five kings. None of y'all would ever be one of those five kings. Y'all are far too spiritual to be like that. But listen, what if you're one of those five kings? Can you imagine being in there? He'll never find us. After all this blows over, we'll just go back and take up our thrones. We'll take up our place of importance. But no, 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 no. Can you imagine how they felt when the rocks started piling up? Would you want to be the one to run out there and say, hey, it's us? No, you want to do that? Or, don't do that. We can't get out. I imagine they just did as they normally did. They cowered back in fear again. They were cowardly in the beginning. They're showing their cowardice. The rocks started to pile up. They're in total captivity. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that that is a very, very big problem of people seeking false refuge in this world today. People look for refuge everywhere except for the only person under the sun who came and bled and died on a cross who can give you the refuge that you need. People look for refuge everywhere, don't they? People like to escape. People like to find ways to not have to deal with the realities of problems and circumstances that are in front of them. People like to find ways, whether it's through alcohol, whether it's through so many men escaping internet pornography. It's such a major problem now. There's all these things that are going on. And it's not just men. Ladies try to escape. Everybody thinks their values and how big their waistline is. They think what the world says about them is what matters. People trying to find escape everywhere. They're trying to please people that wouldn't jump a mud hole for you if you was on fire. Amen? They do. When problems come, the first thing you want to do is say, well, you know, this ain't what I signed up for. I mean, right now, and I'm a very transparent, open guy. I'm not a complainer. I'm not a whiner. But, I mean, I've got challenges now just like you do. I bet some of you came in here today with challenges. Unless God shows up, you're done. Here's the good news. He's that kind of guy. Amen? We have challenges, several, but major challenges in our life right now, in our home, things that are going on that we need God to show up in. It's nothing major. Me and Mama good together. I promise you, that girl loves me, and I love her. You do love me still, don't you? Okay, just checking. Because I don't want to be lying in the pulpit. Amen. But just, I mean, me and her have a great, we empty nesters, and hey, it ain't too bad, boys. It really ain't. And the grand boy comes, and boy, we just have the best time. He's crawling everywhere. Did y'all know I had a grandson? But anyhow, he's crawling everywhere, and he gets in the little race car walker, and Brooke was going to the beach, so I dog sat Charlie this week, who's literally got nothing between here. But anyhow, Charlie just wild. But anyhow, so Charlie's in there, and I got Rob in the walker chasing him, trying to pin Carl. It's a her, trying to pin Charlie to the wall, and I'm having a big time. I'm thinking, get her, boy, get her, baby. We got all kind of challenges. Some of them, unless God shows up, we're in a mess, and that's okay. It's all right. But I refuse to cower in a cave of fear and allow any of the enemy to try to hold me captive, because the Bible's told me this, that Jesus came to set the captives free. Jesus told me that the weapons of our warfare are carnal, but his are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. You can look for false refuge anywhere you want. You can try to drown your sorrows, but I want to tell you, when you sober up, your sorrows are still going to be there. You're still going to have to deal with them, and what you need to do is bring them to an altar of God today and say, God, I'm tired of trying to fix it my way. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I want to come to you to be my refuge, my strong tower, my buckler and my shield, my portion, my provision. I'm trusting you to do it and not the world. Well, there's a second thing I want you to notice. It's not just false refuge. Notice there was also a faithful return. Boy, I like this stuff right here. Oh, wait, I missed one. Back up. Y'all be so mad. Back up there. There was a torrid chase. Y'all didn't know I knew fancy words like torrid. You know, I knew something was wrong the other day, right? Kate told me that Rob was into Blues Clues. My youngest daughter liked Blues Clues. I mean, I love the mail. It never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to yell, meow, right? Kate's going to watch this and say, Dad, I can't believe you just did that. But yeah. No, listen. We're watching Blue's Clues. Well, Steve's not on there anymore. The one I remember, there's another young man. What's his name, Joey or something like that? I don't know. Yeah. He looks like a Joey. But yeah, I just call people to leave. He started to get the mail, and he whoops out an iPhone. I'm used to the mailbox, where it comes out on that long. I mean, everything's. Scooby-Doo, the mystery machine's got an iPad and a GPS in it now. What in the world? What's going on in the world? Just imagine that. Now, there was a chase that went on. What happened here? That happened with the fact that they were in captivity. Verse 19 and 20 says, look here, here's what I want you to do. Don't everybody camp out here by this covered up cave. I bet they had plenty of volunteers. I'll watch it. I'll take care of things. No, he said, I just need just a few to watch this. I need everybody else to go get the chase on, because they're running. We've got them on the run. We've got them on the run, and because we've got them on the run, here's what you need to do. You need to pursue them. You need to attack them. You do not need to let them enter their cities. Listen, you know why? Oh, this is good. He says, because the Lord your God has given them into your hand. Too often, the church is playing defense instead of offense. Too often, now don't get me wrong, I believe in being a defender of the faith. I believe in being able to give every man an answer for the hope that lies within you. I believe that. I believe in being able to defend your faith. But instead of always playing defense, trying to keep the enemy from scoring, why are we always on the defensive and not playing offense? Here's what Joshua said. We're not just going to sit here and wait on them to come back looking for their king. No, we're going to chase them down. We're going to pursue them. We're going to attack them because we've got a word from God. Church, hear me. When you have a word from God, where else do you need a word from? Was Joshua such a courageous leader because he was a great military man? No, he was a courageous leader because he had the hand of God on what he was doing, and he believed and took God at his word. Too often in the church, I hear this sometimes. Preacher, I know that's what the Bible says, but. Where you need to stop is, I know that's what the Bible says, exclamation point. No buts, no commas, no ifs, ands, none of that stuff. This is what happened. So he sends them on the chase, and this is what happened. While Joshua and the children of Israel made an end to the slaying of them, a very great slaughter. I imagine that's a bunch of them, amen? Till they had finished, that those who escaped entered the fortified cities. Wait a minute, Joshua's a failure. No, he's not. They did have a few escape. They made it to the fortified cities for a time of temporary protection. But if you're a student of Scripture, you know that was just about time. Joshua is going to continue the march until he's completed the course. He will eventually get them. Amen? He's after them. There's a torrid chase going on. They're not playing defense. There's a word for the church today. Let's quit playing defense, and let's not let the enemy growl and bark and howl and scare us into where we just retreat and trying to find false refuge in the world. But let's be on the offensive with the word of God, not to be anything oppressive or anything like that, but just be on the offensive of saying God's word is true, nothing else matters, and we will not be shaken. Well, just like we sang earlier in the service today. When I fight on my knees. The battle belongs to you. Isn't that what David said? He told Goliath, you come to me with spear and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. Why was David so courageous? Because he had God's hand on what he was doing. Well, now, let's move back where I talked about earlier. Look at verse 21. There's a fateful return. Then what happened? They returned to camp in peace. Did you see that? If you got a highlighter or a little pen or something, that in peace is very important. And no man moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. There was a little period of inactivity there. Will you say, well, does that mean they were not moving forward? Were they giving up because a few escaped? No, no, no. They came back in peace, and here's the peace they had. They had done what God sent them to do. You know, some days, like I told about earlier in the welcome, talking about Brother Rick, when he had called and encouraged me, sometimes I walk off this platform and I feel like, man, I failed God. I failed the people. I'm just so inadequate and all that kind of stuff. And I get attacked by the devil just like you do. But here's the peace that God gives. Many times I've went before God and said, God, I really fumbled today. Never got a chance to fumble in real life, because when you got two left feet and you run about a 5'8" 40, they're not giving you the ball. Don't y'all laugh. Y'all hurt my feelings. Some of y'all wish y'all could run a 5'8" 40. Some of y'all wish you could run 40. Some of you wish you could walk 40. Crawl 40. I don't know. But here, no. I say, Lord, I fumble. Sure am sorry. And then the peace comes because there's an indwelling person that's bigger than you, God the Holy Spirit. And he ministers for us. And he intercedes for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. When you don't have the words, he has the words for you. So many times the Spirit of God has ministered to me on Sunday nights as I lay down to go to sleep and not able to go to sleep too good because I'm like, well, I really meant to do this. I really meant to say this. And God, I just didn't do well. He'll say, son, did you do what I sent you to do today? Did you stand before my people and declare, thus saith the word? Then, son, I want you to know, regardless if the world says you're a failure or not, as I learned from Junior Hill, he said, no man who stands and faithfully proclaims the word of God is a failure. And I want you to know I'm thankful for that, because even though this was a time for them that seemed as though they were being inactive, notice what happened, that no man moved his tongue against the children of Israel. You know what I mean? I don't know about y'all, but if I saw a leader shut up five kings in a cave and chase down all of his people and whip them and slaughter them, I don't know about y'all, but I wouldn't be talking no trash to them either, would you? But it's not just about those. It's talking about the people that were of the camp of Israel. They had unity. Unity. Friend, I want you to know, we'll never get to where God wants us to be if we don't have complete unity in this fellowship. I want you to understand that. I want you to know what we do here is not always what I like or what Marty likes or what the deacons like or any of our youth directors and all that. No, no, we don't do things because of what we like. We do things we feel will bring the greatest glory to God. When it comes to worship, you notice, man, The Battle Belongs is a pretty new song, isn't it, Marty? I guess probably the last 3 or 4 years. But isn't there some great theology in that song? And we say, well, I don't know. Let me check it with Grudem and let me check it with Matthew Henry. They don't know nothing about that. Here's it. No, no. Fight our battles on our knees. The battle belongs to you. And then we end up singing here the hymn that we sing at the blood of Jesus, right? We want the young generation to know these good old hymns of the faith. But we also want everybody to know that what we're trying to do is build a culture of worship and glory to God that crosses every age bracket, every barrier that the world could put up. We're trying our best to get everybody on one team. But you know what? No matter how hard we try, all that depends on me and depends on you. Because it's not always about what we like. It's about what brings God the greatest glory. This song, This Blood, man, that's probably in the last 10 years, wouldn't you say, Martin? And man, if you don't like that song, take it up with Ray. Ray, I'm putting a lot of pressure on you today. You got to pay for everybody to come to the conference, and now you got to deal with all the grouts. But yeah, no. And let me just be honest with you about our church. We don't have a lot of that. I'm sure there's some people go out sometimes saying, well, you know, I really didn't like that. You know, well, they weren't singing to you anyhow. Amen? And here's the deal. We come to participate, not spectate. Are y'all with me? I mean, you can find 1,000 things wrong with my preaching. I know I have bad English sometimes. I sweat like I'm dying up here. And sometimes my mouth won't go as fast as my brain, and I get tongue-tied, and I spit, and all this kind of stuff. I break every one of the seminary rules. I break them all. But I want to tell you what matters to me most is that when I'm done today, that God could say, well done. That's all that matters. Well, notice it wasn't just a time of inactivity, but that time of inactivity brought unity. Notice there was some intimidation. Notice what happened. Joshua said, open that cave up. I believe there's somebody in there we need to meet. Open the cave. Bring them out. Luke verse 23. They brought them out, all five kings. Verse 24, notice what Joshua did. He called for all the men of Israel, said to the captains of the men of war who went with them. Look what he said. Well, this is tough right here. Come near, put your feet on the necks of these kings. And they drew near and put their feet on their necks. Do y'all think Joshua meant business? He said, I want you to put your feet on their neck. This was an extreme form of intimidation, but it wasn't going to end with intimidation. I mean, they had their foot on their neck just to give them a preview about what was finna come down the pipe. Amen? Now, then look here. Just a few days ago, these were five kings. They had put together a coalition of their kingdoms. They were going to stifle Joshua, who was undermanned, under-resourced. They were going to go to Gibeon and kill all the Gibeons that had left them and betrayed them while they betrayed, also deceived Joshua. They were going to destroy Gibeon, they were going to destroy Joshua, and they were going to be the big cheeses in Canaan. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know in this world today, Satan is a great intimidator. He loves to intimidate God's people. He loves to make you think he's bigger, faster, and stronger than God. He likes all this stuff. People put this stuff on the internet, and they'll sew the devil and Jesus arm wrestling and put click on who you think will win. And if you don't send this to 10 people, you don't love Jesus. I want you to know I love Jesus whether I send it to 10 people or no people. Amen. That's the craziest thing. If you keep scrolling, bad things are going to happen your way. Are you kidding me? No, no, listen. Jesus is not in an arm wrestling match with the devil. He's not trying to find a way to defeat the devil. He took care of that at Calvary. He took care of that in Gethsemane when the tomb was open and when he arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Oh, hear me, church. Say, Jesus is not trying to defeat the devil. He is not intimidated by the devil, even though many of his people are intimidated by the devil. And we're not just intimidated by the devil. We're intimidated by the agents of the devil. Y'all don't believe this, but Satan's got a lot of people working for him. And I found out a lot of them go to church. Y'all laugh because it's true. Amen. Some of the meanest people I've ever met in my life go to church. They'll cut you with words. They'll come up and tell you something nice and try to build you up. Next thing you know, the knife is coming around the corner. They're fixing to cut you off at the kneecaps. Amen. No, I'm telling you, this is true, but hear me. I didn't quit going to church because mean people go there. I've never heard a drunk say, I ain't going to the bar anymore. There's mean people down there. Have y'all? Never. There are people that get hurt, shot, beat up, over knocked over, hit with pool cue sticks, and they keep going right back. But they'll say, you know what? I ain't going to church because there's a hypocrite up there. Can I tell you something? The chances of you being in a worship service with a hypocrite on any given Sunday is 100%. And if you stop going to church because there was a hypocrite there or somebody hurt your feelings, here's what you've allowed to happen. You've allowed the enemy to intimidate you. They knew just enough to keep you from serving God, and they've intimidated you by the actions of somebody else. Look here. Don't let anybody stop you from serving Jesus. I don't care what they do, because what he did for you on Calvary is far more worth anything than anybody could do to you. Hear me. It's not worth that at all. Not in the least bit. Don't be intimidated by the enemy. Look what Joshua was doing here, though. He was giving them a foreshadow of what was to come. And let's end up right here. Notice verse 25, the fearless response. Boy, I love this. Joshua says, do not be afraid or dismayed. Have y'all heard that somewhere else in the book of Joshua? Isn't that what God said to Joshua? Listen what Joshua's doing. This is what this preacher desires to do every time I stand before you. Joshua is telling the people what God said to him. Amen? Yeah, I'm serious. I'm just bringing the newspaper. I'm the paper boy today. Y'all like, you don't look like a paper boy. I remember staying with my granddaddy. I'd stay on his front porch. I thought it was the biggest front porch in the world. I look at it now, and it looks rather small. But I'd sit on his front porch, and I'd get all this theological wisdom from him and the great theologian Tom Hamby. If y'all knew Tom Hamby, yeah, I didn't get much. All right. But my granddaddy and Tom Hamby, they'd solve the world's problems on the front porch. They'd talk politics. They'd talk everything else in the world. And all of a sudden, this little old car would pull up by the paper box out there, and he'd say, all right, boy. See, that was my name. He never called me by my name. I was boy. He'd say, all right, boy. Paper boy, just run. Go get my paper. Now, that was not a suggestion. You see these kids now, I don't want to. I can imagine I would have said that half of a time. When he said, go get the paper, My job was to go get the paper, not stop, not pass go, not collect $200 till I got back. And I'd come back with that paper, and I put it in my granddaddy's hand, and he'd open, and he'd look at the pictures, and he'd go over, and then a few minutes later, he'd throw it down. I'm like, wow, that wasn't much, but yeah, look here. He could have took the paper, and he could have got mad at the boy that put it in the box because it had bad news in it. He could have got mad at me because I brought it to him. But friend, I didn't have any control over what was in the paper. Only thing I had control over was putting it in the right hands. Today I'm here to tell you I don't have any control over what's in the Word of God, but I want to be like Joshua. I want to say to you what God says in His Word, and I want to deliver the paper to you today, and it is up to you for what you do with the contents of the paper. Amen. Oh, notice there was an admonition of destiny in verse 25. He said, the Lord will do to your enemies against whom you fight. And then notice this part, verse 26. It was absolute devastation. And afterward, Joshua struck them and killed them. He didn't just put his foot on their neck. He finished the course. He hanged them on five trees. You say, man, this is a brutal dude. Well, they did this as an even further sign to the people. If you think you're going to make it, look what just happened to your king. They hung on the trees the evening, so at the time of the going down of the sun, Joshua commanded, they took them, and look what they did. They put them back in the same cave they tried to hide in. They devastated these kings, and it says that cave remains there to this day. And in verse 28, it says, and Joshua took the town of Makeda, struck it and its king and the edge of the sword. He utterly destroyed them, the people that were in it, and he let none remain. He did to the king of Makeda just like he did at Jericho. You know what happened at Jericho. What do we learn from this? Joshua was fearless because he was faithful. Do you hear me? The reason in the times that I have fallen prey to fear, and if you say you've never fallen prey to fear, you're deceiving yourself. At some point in all of our journeys, we're like, I don't know. I mean, when we were first saying we needed to buy these two vans and we didn't have the money to buy them, and we knew it was what God wanted to do, and we just said, you know, we got to go for it. And I didn't know how it was going to happen, but I just had peace that God was going to take care of it. You know what I had a guy ask me this week? He said, what kind of campaign did you have to go through to raise the money to buy two new vans? I said, I didn't. He said, you didn't do a long campaign, pledges and all? I said, he said, well, how'd you get it? I said, well, I just kind of felt like we had a word from God. And I just stood before the people and said, folks, this is something we need to do. And you all agreed. You voted for it. You say, well, I wasn't here. By you not being here, you voted for it. Absent is a yes, okay? Listen. And I said, I just asked the people to give. And I didn't put any pressure on anybody. I didn't fuss and raise Cain about it. I just, from time to time, would say, hey, y'all don't forget. Things have been ordered. You do your part, I'll do mine. And it just came. You know what this man said to me, who I'm not even sure is a believer? He said, man, that must really mean God is at work in your church, because that is a really good sign of unity. That just blessed me. Because that's the kind of testimony that needs to go beyond these walls in this community and beyond, is that this group of people are people who are not out for what's in it for them, but what can they do that God would be glorified and the gospel would be furthered. Joshua could be fearless because he was faithful. He could be fearless because of a promise he had from God. I'm going to be with you. He took that same promise and he conveyed it to the people. And let me leave you with this. Can I tell you, the God who was faithful to be with Moses, the God who was faithful to be with Joshua, the God who was faithful to be with Joseph and Daniel and Nehemiah and on, the God who fed Elijah with the ravens is the same God who will be faithful to you. I told Angie this week, when we were praying over needs and worries and stuff, I said, Angie, I just got to believe that if God fed Elijah with a raven, he'll always be faithful to us. He's been faithful when I haven't. Have you got that testimony? Even when we're faithless, he's faithful. God's faithful regardless. He cannot deny his holy character. But let me ask you this, church. Are we going to complete the course, or are we going to just say that's enough? How about you, sir? Are you going to complete the course of leading your family to walk with God? Or are you just going to say, well, I've done all I can? How about you, mom? Are you going to complete the course? Sons, daughters, are you going to look to your mom and dad and encourage them in their walk with God and they encourage you? Are you going to be a family that says, hey, we're going to be faithful till God calls us home? Church, are we going to be that kind? The answer is found. When we do, as I said earlier, we get on our face before God and say, God, use me. Pray with me. Father, in Jesus' name, oh, I want to thank you for your word. Father, my heart was so heavy this morning. I had butterflies in my stomach and all those things over with your word, and just, God, even though I've been doing this a long time, I've never learned how. I've never known to do anything except just get up and say what you say, to agree with you about your word. And God, plead with people to do the same. Father, right now, this invitation time, there's somebody that needs to complete the course. There's somebody that's got indifferent. Somebody's laid down their armor in the middle of the battle. Some have tried to take a false refuge. Some have tried to hide from you because it looks a little scary to do the things you want us to do. But God, I know today that one that has grown indifferent, that one that might feel intimidated by the enemy, it's your word tells us that greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. God, I know you could restore them today. That one that's trying to escape with all the allurements of the world instead of running to you, God, I pray you set them free today. God, I pray you add to this church daily those who are being saved. I pray, God, you would help us to be a light to a community to the world from small town Alabama. I know you can do a little, you can do a lot with a little if we'll just trust you in every matter. God, would you do what only you can do at this invitation? Would you draw your net? Would you change lives? Would you continue to change a church that we might see you change a city and the world around us? And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Stand with me all across the house, if you will. Here's the invitation today. Whatever it is you need from God. Maybe you need some encouragement today. Maybe you need that. Maybe you just need to come talk to the Lord about things that trouble you. Maybe you need to repent of sin today. We're not here to judge you. We're here to help you. God's the one that judges sin, but we're here to help you get it right. Maybe you need to make other decisions in your life. Maybe it's a place you feel God would use you and your family to serve in this local church. Maybe you come and say, well, I just want to see what God would do to use us. Many are coming now. You come ahead. Don't let me slow you up. But whatever it is you need from God, you come as God speaks to your heart. Marty, you lead us.
Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. Without him, I would be drifting, or like a ship without.
for you. I'm not going to do or say a word, not going to extend anything further. I'm not a manipulator, coercer, showman, salesman. But I just really sense in this room today there's a lot of battles going on. And it's a battle you need to give to God. But I just want you to know that I'm praying. Maybe you've got decisions you need to make. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to do anything. I just want to take an extra moment and just say, hey, you be honest with God. You got a battle going on. Maybe you got some fear. Maybe you're a little too worried about what your friends think instead of what God knows. Maybe you're still a little worried about social status or all that kind of garbage that means nothing. Maybe you're a little worried about things that are way beyond your control and you're still trying to figure it out. I just want you to know you've got a friend in Jesus, and I want you to know you got a friend in me. And I'm going to pray with you. If that's you, just wherever you are, we're just going to bow our heads together and pray as a family. And after this service today, you can say, hey, I need to talk to somebody. I need prayer. Then we'll stay here. We'll be here all afternoon if it takes it, because where you are with God matters more to me than anything. But if it's not you, it's somebody around you. And as I'm praying, I'm going to ask you to pray along with me, your heart and God's heart, on behalf of those that are dealing with fear, or dealing with a lack of repentance, or dealing with a lack of assurance of salvation, whatever it is. So would you pray with me? Father, in this room, we know there got to be many looking for false refuge. Fear is overtaking them. Faith is very feeble. And they really don't want it to be that way. And they're struck. God, may they know that many others around them have struggled at some point, struggling maybe even today, or might be struggling tomorrow. May they realize that they're around people who can identify. And Father, may they most realize that your son Jesus, the scripture says he sympathizes with our weaknesses, was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He didn't sin, we have. We need forgiveness, and he provides it. God, I just pray right now for any person struggling with anything, whether it's in their home, in their job, whatever it is, God, I just pray, God, you help them today. I pray, God, with those who need to confess and repent of sin but are reluctant to do so for whatever reason. God, I pray you help them confess and forsake their sin today. And I pray, God, you continue to work mightily in the lives of the people in this church. Good God, we really believe we're just getting started. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Ushers are coming. I will remind you that there's any, always, and I try to remind this a lot at most, end of most services, is that when it comes to things in your life or things you need from God, we're always never in a hurry. We're never in a hurry to leave because you matter. This is what I do. You know, these are my people, and I'm realizing that I need to put my microphone back on so you can hear me. Amen. I love what I do. Does it get tiring sometimes? Yeah. Does it get overwhelming sometimes? Yeah. And I'm sure what you do does just the same. But I was listening to old Mike Boland sing the other night. One thing I do with YouTube, sometimes you get a little down about things, you find you some messages or songs encouraging. Mike Boland recorded this song years ago called The Call. And he says in the chorus this, "Remind me, Lord, you called me. Sometimes I may get weary, but if one more soul gets saved, it's worth it all. And when I see those teardrops falling, it reminds me of my calling, so that, Lord, I may never run from your call." Amen. Just a word to say, hey, remind me, Lord, you did this, because I'd have never done this on my own. But because you did it, from it. Amen. So as we give today, let's give from our hearts joyfully and cheerfully to the Lord. We are just excited about what God is doing. And as I really believe this, the best is yet to come. So would y'all join me as we ask God's blessings on our giving? Family, I want to present to you today. Grace, son, I've been waiting to get y'all up front. Come on up here. I've been waiting to get Grace and the Shiloh up front since our Utah trip. Y'all don't draw up on me. Y'all come right over here with me. No, I'm not going to. They're going to make fun of me at some point. Do not believe a word they say. I was totally well behaved. Tell them, Angie. Tell them, Joey.
Yeah.
Devin, did they make fun of me when you came out there? Okay, good. Hey, good news. Those of you that were on the trip with us know that Joey lost his wallet, key to a Tesla, nothing else important. Driver's license. Rivian. At home credit card. Someone found his billfold in South Jordan and turned it in. Yeah, how about that? I mean, to God be the glory. Yeah, you thank God for that. I told the girls that their daddy is the only person that makes me feel good about my own ADHD. But yeah. But Joey and Devin Sprayberry and Shiloh and Grayson, they've been visiting with us quite some time and have been on a mission trip with us. And Sawyer, man, I love Sawyer. He's in kids' praise right now. But they come today and told Joey to share with me that they want to unite with our church family. Would you welcome the Sprayberry family? I was telling the girls out there, these two girls remind me more of my own two than any I've ever met. That's really scary. And I told them how hard their daddy works for them. I said, he works hard, but I hear he has a pretty poopy job. But anyhow, but we are excited to have y'all. We have enjoyed your family, and the mission trip was great. But once again, anything they say, I have lawyers. So yeah, but no, I'm good. But I want you to do this as we dismiss today. I want you to come by and welcome the Sprayberry family to our church. And I want you to pray for Keith and his family this week and the funeral that will be taking place. And I'm honored that he's going to give me the opportunity to be a part of that. I do not deserve that, but thank you. And I want you to know this week, don't forget Wednesday night. I got that coming up. Hey, I listened to the Christmas musical choir. That's what we used to call it, Edwardsville, the choir, right? I listened to the new Christmas musical. I listened to 5 songs of it already. And I didn't know that they could write a better one than I've heard in the past. This thing's off the chain. And so Marty's going to be talking to you about that. If you want to be a part of Christmas musical, you need to get in choir as quick as you can, because we'll start next month. And it's going to be great. So you just let Marty know, and choir, y'all let him. He'll give you the link so you can start listening, okay? Hey, don't forget, I love you. There ain't a thing you can do about it. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Oh, yes, it is. This is our first win. Thank you, Brenda. Ham Sliders. Did you just see the rebellious spirit that's in this church? Yeah, I'm kidding. I love Brenda. Well, that's all right. Well, that's fine. We'll work that out later. But this Wednesday night is a cover dish. It'll be ready at 5:45. If you get there a little early, and we'll eat and have a Bible study. Kids are meeting. Where's Sweet Summer Nights at this week, Harrison? He hasn't texted the group yet. Okay. When the group gets a text, we'll let you know when that is. But anyhow, I figured Harrison, he'd be the secretary for the group. But they're doing Sweet Summer Nights. Everybody else, we're going to have a great time. Come on, welcome the Sprayberry family, and have a great afternoon. Let's stand together. Marty, you sing us out. Love you.